Good morning, it's B. Mitch and Finley. As you can tell, that's not JP's voice. JP out today. Toby Altizer in for him alongside the future Hall of Famer, Brian Mitchell. B. Mitch, what's going on, dude?
I am chilling, Toby. What's happening with you, brother?
Can't complain. Can't complain. We were talking. I'm not much of a morning person, so getting up. I'm usually working updates at like noon.
How old are you, Toby?
I'm 26.
And you're not a morning person.
I'm not
now.
A morning person.
So when you get older, you're gonna be just a little old fogey.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ever gonna be a morning person.
I was on the treadmill at 5:45 this morning, Toby, and I'm 30 years older than you.
I can tell you I was
What's
asleep.
What's the difference here?
I can tell you I was asleep. Well, one, you were a professional athlete, so you got discipline. I ain't got any of that.
Well, I just I don't know. I guess it's not really being an athlete. I lived in a house with a 20-plus-year Army vet.
Okay.
And he didn't give a damn what day it was, if you were asleep, if you were tired or whatever. When he got up, he made enough noise that the whole house had to wake up.
Yeah, that makes sense. I love my mom. She works in the government. She ain't an Army worker. So I got a little bit of that. We're sleeping until noon.
Uh-huh.
We're relaxing. I don't have any of that. I'm not getting up at 5:45 for the treadmill. My uncle.
They didn't tell you about the show you and I about to start doing at 5 in the morning?
I'm gonna have to talk to CK then, and we're doing that. I went down one time to visit my uncle. He lives in the Dallas area, and he gets up early and works out.
Mm-hmm.
We went at like 4 o'clock. Worst day of my life. I think I was puking at like 5 a.m.
But
I don't
see,
want
the
any
thing
part
about
of that.
It's like anything else in the world. Okay, I heard Cakes and the Junks talking this morning on my way in about this time of the year. So they start talking about some crazy place in Alaska that stays dark for the next 64 days. But at this time of the year, when it starts getting dark, or about 5, you know, there's a couple days where at 4:45, you see it gets really dusk. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Comes down. This is the most demoralizing part of the year. I am an energetic person, and if it's sunlight, I'm ready to go. Once I get up in the morning, I've always been told, if you stand up, you will not fall back to sleep. So everybody say, oh, man, I overslept. I hit the snooze. I fell back asleep. Get your ass out the bed and put your 2 feet on the floor. I guarantee you won't go back to sleep. So I've always been that way. But I do not like this time change, especially the first 2 to 3 weeks of it, because it takes some getting used to. When I'm driving home some afternoons, it's 4 something, and I can feel my body. They say you got all the moon and the pool and all that, whatever the hell they're talking about. It makes me tired as hell.
Well,
but after 3 weeks, I'm good.
And your show's done it too. You don't have time to go get a few holes in before.
Oh, I'll still do that. I may still do that today. But Jeff, I would have to go a couple places before we go play golf. You cool with that?
Yeah, but it's gonna be dark.
No. We get on by 2:40, we good. But we hit AJ because AJ owns liquor stores. Bam. And then I got one more stop. Then you and I could go. I can go destroy you.
Isn't this what we were talking about, Jeff? Isn't this what you were saying?
Yeah.
What he said?
He said you were going to find an excuse not to get out on the course with him. That's what he was saying.
No. I am telling him, I will take care of what I got to take care of. Jeff is not a – I'm not even worried about Jeff. I will go play with my lob wedge and my putter and beat Jeff.
Well, I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that at all. You might just need the putter and you beat Jeff.
I doubt
but
that one.
If you were to start getting up early, it just takes a little time. Like, I know I was talking with a friend of mine, my buddy's sister, who she's this vice president of a data center. She owns her own 2 businesses. I'm like, where the hell you get all this time from? Well, I get up in the morning, blah, 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 and I read about all these people that start working out at 4 or 5 in the morning. So, you know me, I hear something I want to see. So the next 3 months, I am up at 4 something in the morning on the treadmill doing things. And I found out it will just basically guide me through the rest of the day. I was ignited. I didn't get tired. And I was able to still, I wasn't going to sleep. Like, people would think that you get up at 4, oh, you're going to sleep at 9. Not me. I was still staying up 11:30 sometimes. But when I wake up, I get up. And if you're walking on a treadmill, I damn sure you're not going back to sleep.
Yeah, I might have to try it out. Like, we had a busy sports night last night, and I want to dive into that Monday Night Football game.
I'm a little
game.
Pissed off, though.
Why's that?
Because I could not find the hockey game. It kept telling me blackout with the ESPN Plus.
Yeah, because it's on Monumental.
But I could not find Monumental nowhere on my Fire Stick.
Well, I'll tell you this. You didn't miss anything because the Caps rolled.
Well, I know they rolled, but I want to see it. You know, I hate when I'm having to look on my phone and all this type of stuff to get information. I tried to pull it up. It was on ESPN2 as well also. Then Monumental, I saw it last week on my Fire Stick. I did not see Monumental.
Yeah, the Caps were rolling last night, though. The big thing, though, OV's two goals look great. Almost back-to-back
the
nights with a hat trick.
The big thing is he got hurt.
But he got hurt. And I don't know. We'll
the
try
update,
to get.
I tried to read up on the update this morning. I think they don't know. They're going to know. Like,
well, you know hockey coaches. Injuries.
He said, we'll know Tuesday. Well, today is Tuesday.
Yeah.
And based off of the way he's rolling and the excitement and the way people love Ovi, you're supposed to wake up at 5:30 this morning and tell us what the hell is going on.
Well,
come
then,
on, Carl Barry.
I saw Tariq El-Bashir basically saying that we might not get an update today either. They'll practice again tomorrow. Because they're not practicing today. They don't really have to give anything away. So I think this might linger. I'm hoping it's nothing bad, but I don't know. I mean, he went back out on the ice and skated around on a little lap, and he immediately went back to the dressing room.
I mean, that so far, right, this year? And he has 15 goals.
15 goals.
And they have 20. He needs 27 to break it. And they have, what, 60?
64 or something like that?
No.
More games?
Is 84 games?
82.
82, so it's 64 more games that they have to play. I think he's breaking it this year. But I think ultimately what happened last night, he could have probably played if he had to. It was a playoff game.
Well, and that's what I'm curious.
But they just, I mean, why push it last night?
Yeah, we're going to get Alan May hopefully at some point in the show. I want to get his thoughts because, I mean, like, as a hockey player, I know for a football player it's one thing, but as a hockey player, we were skating around, he got a knee injury, pushing off that thing. I'm curious what he thought. I mean, I don't know if it was a dirty play by that guy from Utah last night. It looked like he maybe could have gotten out of the way.
It's going to be a lot of dirty plays because the man just has been unbelievable. At first, no one would give him any credit because he was not from Canada. Now that he's getting this close, I think you'll have a bunch of asses come out.
Yeah, I mean, it's been unbelievable watching him this year. A hat trick the other night, finishing on the empty netter, and then two goals last night. I mean, the first goal was great, a nice snipe in the middle of the ice. The second one was classic Ovi on the power play, I believe.
Yeah.
Slap shot from his office. I mean,
he scored on the 187th or 78th person goalie. He set a record there.
Incredible. Yeah. It's been incredible. He's 39 years old.
Yeah. Hey, man, listen to me. I hear a lot of people discussing the mindset of an athlete, and a lot of times when they start discussing it, I know that they weren't athletes. But 39 means nothing to him. His body now is going on autopilot. He's been doing this since he was probably 5-6 years old.
Well, and I think it's credit to him.
The work he puts in.
Carbs has talked about this. It seems like he came in this year in better shape. You know, last year it was a slow start. Once he got going, he was great. He was the OV we always knew. This year he started that way.
One thing about athletes, we will start saying, oh, they had a down year. They know probably why.
Yeah.
They know that, oh, you know, I took that 2 weeks off and I didn't really do what I normally do. Or I wasn't really getting all of my proper stretching and you know, the mobility stuff in. Well, then they go to next year and they begin to do all that. You know, and he comes. Ovi understood. This year, everyone was saying, oh, it'll probably take him 2 years. You know what that probably told him? Hell yeah, I'm going to knock this out in 1 year. Because every time an athlete hears a doubt, it's a challenge.
Yeah.
No one is trying to challenge you, but that's how athletes get to the point that they get to, because they always are looking for something as a challenge or a knock. You know, I would step on the field, and, you know, if anybody says something, or if he wore the same number I had on, I'm like, he's trying to one-up me, you know? And it would ignite me to go do something. I believe he's the exact same way. Well, we thought he was done. Well, many people thought he was done, what, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
And he's still going.
Well, and you got to give credit to McClellan. They put great pieces around him. Dylan Strome's been absolutely incredible. I mean, we were thinking they're never going to be able to replace Backstrom, and you can't replace Backstrom, but as close as you can get is Dylan Strome. You've got other guys stepping up in a big way. Connor McMichael's playing as good as anybody in the league right now. It's been impressive to watch. So credit to the Caps. They win 6-2 last night, 3 in a row. They're back home on Thursday. I don't know if you caught any of the Wiz game. We'll get to Monday Night Football in just a second. The Wiz, they're in a tough one. But I will say this. We'll get into the Monday Night Football in just a sec. Credit to the Wiz for understanding where they're at, because they're losing. They're not playing well, but they're playing all their young guys. Like, that's where they're at. Like, play Bub 25, 30 minutes. Play Sar. Play all these guys.
But
just understand where you're at.
They need it. You need it. And I've watched people go through this process, and they weren't trying to get the young guys better. So when you look at the group that's here now and who they help build, they understand what they need to do. And I think that experience for those young guys is going to be priceless down the stretch. You know, and as they get to when they start becoming, you know, contenders and things, that's going to help them out. A lot of times people go through a whole rebuild and they start doing things over, and the guys that are going to be the ones you need to get done, that's the first time they start playing is when you finally think you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Doesn't work that way.
Yeah. No, I like that they're going all in on the – I wouldn't call it tanking, but they're definitely going all in on the youth
movement. When you're playing all young guys against all those talented people, that's kind of tanking.
Well, it's working because they've only won two games, so it's working whatever they're doing. Monday Night Football last night, the Texans all over the Cowboys, 34-10. And as if the sky wasn't already falling for the Dallas Cowboys, literally part of the sky was falling when they opened the roof for the first time in 2 years yesterday. How crazy was that?
That was you saw how big that piece of metal
that was.
Big. And you think if that were to hit someone. But the ultimate thing is, where I'm coming from is, when did it happen? Because it seemed like a piece of that metal. Because like when you look at that stadium, it's basically a lot of pieces of metal, sheet metal on the top. They had some hurricanes and storms roll through there. Did something mess it up? And when it went to open, that's how it dislodged. But they didn't even go up there to check it out. Think about it.
Yeah.
We have hailstorms around here a lot. None of us know if something is wrong with our house. Those fake-ass insurance companies can come tell you that they get 80-something thousand from the company, and they come back and try to tell you, oh, we had something left over for you. They probably had more left over for themselves. But where did it happen? And you know, someone could have died.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And so I'm watching Jerry at the end of the game. Jerry was sitting there with moving his hand. That wasn't like the natural, I'm sorry we lost. Jerry is probably like, what the hell just happened? My team is garbage, and my building's falling apart.
Yeah.
Karma, karma, karma. All these years of these Cowboys fans talking trash about, oh, y'all ain't never going to be nothing till y'all own a gun. Y'all stadium suck. Y'all got pipes falling. Look at them now. Their owners suck. They got parts falling off the roof.
Yeah, I mean, we had somebody almost fall. There was people fell through a rail. They had part of the building come on down.
Very lucky.
Lisa Salter.
Yeah, very lucky.
My girl, I love Lisa. And that thing was not far from her.
Yeah, I mean, really lucky because – imagine if they wait and open that roof like an hour later and players are in warm-ups and that thing's coming down.
How about in the middle of the game?
Or middle of the game? I mean, it's...
Question, though, why the hell does the stadium... Why don't they open that thing more often?
That's what I'm saying. We were talking about this beforehand. I don't understand why these stadiums build roofs and then that are retractable and they never open them. I used to work in Milwaukee. We were talking about this. They're playing the Dodgers in a playoff series. It's 30 degrees out. Open that thing. I know it's not ideal conditions, but it's a home field advantage. I don't understand, like, how bad is the weather in Arlington that thing's been shut for 2 years? 2 years? Come on, I get that it might be hot, but, like, in November and December, you can't open that thing up some?
You can tell they don't stretch. They don't stretch. They don't believe in warming up.
it's a little weird, man, but that was a troubling situation. But looking at them on the field, it's only a matter of time before they completely just quit.
Yes.
Or blow up. And I'm not saying blow up playing well. There are a lot of people on their teams giving a lot of underhanded statements. You know, I absolutely love Micah Parsons. But Micah Parsons, he was throwing haymakers at his coach last week, and he still throws haymakers. He can't answer no questions, but he goes slip something in there. They have some internal turmoil going on.
Oh, 100%.
Believe me.
I mean, and Micah Parsons is out here saying you're misusing my word. Dude, you have a podcast.
First of all, no one is misusing your words.
No.
And that's another thing about athletes. If you don't want nobody to misuse your words, stop, think, and say exactly what you mean. But don't sit up there and give these half-ass answers while not really paying attention to the question.
Yeah.
Because if you give anybody anything, they're running with it. But when you say, I don't care where my coach go, I'm just worried about these players, you just said you don't respect that coach. Most guys, listen, you ask me a question about that, this is the best answer in the world. That is not my pay grade. You talk to the owner or the GM about that. All I can ask is what I do. Can't nobody say that I did not like the coach, right?
Is that something that throughout your career you had to learn, or is that something that you found out right away and that's something you implemented early on?
My coach in college, he had a coach's show, and he said, I am going to have you on my show every week because you're going to be in front of the camera more than anybody else on this team. First year, 17, 18 years old, I answered some brash, some questions a little differently. So-and-so on the other team, they said, oh, man, I'm not worried about them chumps. I'm going to do this. He said, no, just do it. Stop saying what you're going to do. You know, so you learn later on, like, you have to keep your bravado out of it.
Yeah.
And if they ask you a question about someone else, like I listened to Brian Robinson talking to the judge, and they asked the question they're supposed to ask. He answered every one of them properly. When it's about somebody else, all you can do is bring it back to yourself. It's not your job, no athlete's job, to talk about other people's performance or what they need to do, unless you're praising them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. What do you think outside of, obviously, the turmoil that could be going on in that locker room? I thought on the field, the last two games they've gotten killed in terms of scoreboard. The Eagles game was in the balance for like a quarter, and then that one was over. Last night, it was still close into the second half. You know, it really fell apart when Cooper Rush got stripped and they fumbled and take that back for a touchdown. It felt like, though, 34-10 is a domination by the Texans. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like they dominated that game as much as the scoreboard says.
It doesn't seem like they dominated it, but not one moment I thought Dallas was going to win the game.
Exactly.
And it's not because I don't like Dallas. It's just that you saw that they were holding on and Houston was messing up. So if you're just holding on and the other team is not out there providing their best and you're not taking over, you're not getting too close, the closer was 14-7.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was over.
Well, and I think it's just
– and then when Romo them completely jinxed the kicker, this guy hadn't missed. Boom.
Yeah.
He got him.
Yeah. Well, and I think to your point, what this shows for Washington is you should win this football game. There's no doubt about it. But you can't come out – with half effort.
You cannot give them any hope.
Exactly.
If you come out, you play well, you get up on them, they are ready to pack up and chill.
Yeah.
And that's you. Bad teams are always looking for a way out. They're looking for excuses.
Do you think they start Cooper Rush next week, or do you think it's a Trey Lance experiment?
I think you're going to see both of them in that game.
Okay.
And I believe that, I think just like we were not prepared for the fake, that end up they threw it under. They underthrew it or whatever, when it was the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
We better be ready for anything with them. Dallas tried to fake early in the game, too.
Yeah.
You know, when you start seeing teams desperate like that, anything goes. And listen, he believed that they're going to be ready to go now. They had their weeks where they were, like, trying to worry about the guys' bodies. You had 10 days off. They're not going to work them hard this week, but you have to go now and come out with your best, because I believe if they play their best, they beat the game going away.
It's Dallas week here on The Fan, and we're going to give you some of our best memories from against the Cowboys. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley on The Fan.
We've got some huge breaking news here out of D.C. The Senate panel has advanced the bill that would transfer federal land around RFK Stadium to D.C. So there was a vote today, 17-2. The RFK bill has passed. Now, this is a huge step forward in moving this land into D.C. control, though it is not final yet. There will still need to be one more vote, but this is huge news here for the Commanders. RFK bill has passed 17-2, giving the land to D.C. From the Crop MedCap 5-Star Sports Desk, Savannah McCann on The Fan.
So some big news there.
That's big news.
Yeah.
That's big news. I think you have the mayor wants it. Josh and his crew wants it. A lot of people in the area claim they don't want it until they start building it, and when they come up with their rendition of what's going to be there. People are changing their mind, but I guess Mr. South Dakota had to step aside, huh?
Well, I just want this thing to get moving. Like, that's the thing is, you know, I want the stadium as soon as possible. Well, we can't get the stadium built until we figure out where it's getting built.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, I've gone over there. I know people always ask the question, well, where are they going to put it at? Because, you know, new stadiums now have all this stuff around it. If you go over to RFK right now, they got the fields at RFK. Most of them aren't really used. Okay? But it's the armory is there still, which that's an eyesore now. You can get rid of that. You got along the river, they could build stuff. Okay? You can build, because like when I went to Arizona and their stadium where it's built, the stuff they have around it can easily fit in the area provided and still have a lot of those fields left because a lot of kids go over there. I do a lot of events with Events DC where they do they have a day of play where the kids come out, they have all types of things going on. You have more than enough fields over there, more than enough room while still building. And the thing about parking does not have to be spread out. You can take it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and the other part, too, is, I mean, people are going to metro there. Right now, there's no option, really, to get to FedEx or Northwest Stadium unless you're driving and parking, or if you want to take the metro, it's a mile walk.
Yeah.
That people are going to metro there. I mean, anytime I go down to Cap 1, it's going to be metro. I mean, people can metro down here to Nats Park. That's not really an option. And so you might lose some parking, and you might lose some tailgating opportunities. But I think for the most fans that aren't going as season ticket holders, I think they'll care because they might lose their tailgates. But I think for most normal fans that go to maybe a game a year, two games a year, they're going to ride the metro in. They'll be fine.
I went to RFK for a long time, and getting out of RFK was 100,000 times better than getting out of FedEx. Well, Northwest. It was much easier. It was easier to roll in, roll out. Going to FedEx, boy, that's whew. Northwest, FedEx, whatever. Going to that area is hard as hell to get there.
Well, and I think, too, I mean, I never experienced them playing at RFK. I think I've been to RFK maybe twice in my life. I went to a Nats game or two there, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to that experience? Like, for someone my age, like, we're talking about Dallas week. I grew up watching VCR tapes, VHS tapes of the stands jumping, saying, "We want Dallas."
And that field.
I want that back.
Just looking across the field, watching the stadium. I'm talking about actually move, and you start hearing all in unison, "We want Dallas." And it's jumping up and down. It brought chills to you. You know, when I got here, I tell people when it was Dallas week, you can cut the tension in the air. You knew how serious it was. Whether you wanted to get up or not, as a player, you knew you better get up. And I can remember, I think it might have been one of the last games played there. I don't think it was the actual last game. I know we played a game in there where I broke a touchdown on him. It made me feel so good because, you know, I had a chance to be a starting running back, and I had 16 carries for over 100 yards, two touchdowns. You know, so if I was given a chance, I could have done it, but they didn't. And you have those moments. I can remember losing a game. We were 11-0, lost 11-1 to Dallas, and then went back and won three games straight, beat them the second time, you know, and we went to the Eagles and chilled and went on to a Super Bowl. It's just all those different little things. I remember getting to fights with them, you know. Their coach was their special teams coach all in my ear while I'm catching punts. That's their receiver coach, and I choked him. You know, I have a temper. When I'm on the football field, let me do my damn job.
I would have never guessed that B-Mitch had a temper on the football field.
Saying, like, he decided he's going to stand right in the area with catching punts and start yapping. I said, "Dude, you better remember you don't play." "What that's supposed to mean?" I said, "You're about to find out." And he quickly found out.
This happened on the field.
Yes. Pre-game.
I mean, this isn't shocking to me for you, B-Mitch.
You know, but RFK, Douglas had a fight there. I was at that. You know, it was.
But that just adds to the rivalry, those sorts of things.
Yeah. You know, like, coaches should always, dude, stand on the sideline and talk. You can't be out here yapping to nobody. You're not playing in the damn game. You got to go change nothing. You might get yourself hurt.
How do you feel about the rivalry now? Because to me, I grew up, you hate Dallas. Like, you know, my uncle taught me that if you're shopping at a store, you're looking through stuff. I'm at a Nike outlet the other day. I'm looking through stuff. I move a jacket. It's got Cowboys.
And you dropped it.
I might need to go wash my hands.
Like, I think those who went through the times then, you have the same disdain for them that you had then. A lot of people today, they don't understand it. They're trying to get to that level. But if you went through it back then, you just don't like them. Well, you know, and then, hell, every team I played for didn't like them.
Yeah.
So it was hard to ever get a good feeling about them. You hate them. Every city, they don't like those people.
And you know what? I don't care if Dallas views it as a rivalry as much anymore. I don't care. I can't stand Dallas.
Nobody cared if Dallas viewed it as a rivalry back in the day. They knew here they didn't like it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, to your point, I'm 26 years old. Dallas has kind of dominated this rivalry in my lifetime. But my favorite memory, a period about this team, not just a Dallas memory, is 2012, Week 17, winner goes to the playoffs, RG3's rookie year, Alfred Morris runs for 200 yards.
Yep.
That's my favorite memory because you beat Dallas in a de facto playoff game.
I got those memories.
Game.
I got the Santana game. I got the Mark Brunell game. Mark Brunell and Santana. I got the Alfred Morris game. All those different things come in. Hell, we're down there in Dallas, and we ran a fake on them. You know, they were sitting up here, and Raleigh McKenzie had snuck into the game, and boom. We called off like, nah, like we're going to snap it, and then he snapped it directly. We still got a first down, went down, and closed out the game. You know, I remember going down there, but I was a different team then, just going down, and they were in Texas. It's hot. They had 20-something people get IVs. You live in Texas and don't know how to get ready for the heat? We beat them 31-6 or something like that. But it's like just – but they had the stadium that they said, oh, God wanted to see them. No, you didn't have enough money to put a damn roof on top of it.
What are your favorite Dallas memories? 800-636-1067. We'll open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines, get some of your thoughts. Also, we'll continue talking about the RFK bill getting passed on. It's B. Mitch and Finley here on 106.7 The Fan. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. JP out today. Toby Altizer in for him. Coming up at 11 o'clock, we're going to talk to Barstool Nate. I'm sure he's got some thoughts on Dallas week, as well as I'm sure he's got some kind words for that Utah player last night that got Ovi. So I'm sure he's going to have some nice things to say. 800-636-1067, MGM National Harbor listener lines are open.
Mine.
What are some of your favorite memories of Dallas week? Let's get out to Nate in D.C. Nate, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going today?
How you doing, man?
I have no complaints at all. Thank you for all your years of play and memories. Every time I get the chance to tell you that, B. Mitch, I'm going to tell you.
Appreciate you.
But my favorite moment has to have been 2005, Mark Brunell, the two deep connections to Santana Moss and his welcome to D.C. game. We were losing 13-0, I think, in that game, and we came back and beat them 14-13. Yeah, that was it for me.
Cowboy killer. Appreciate it, Nate. Yeah, I mean, watching Santana do his thing. I was still young, so I don't remember that as vividly, but, I mean, just seeing some of those catches. Before we get to some other callers, Jeff, what's your favorite Dallas memory?
Oh, mine probably got to be, what was that? It was 2006, I believe. Sean Taylor, bro, he blocked the kick.
Mm-hmm.
We were like 2-5 that. I think it was like 2-5, but, dude, I don't think Sean Taylor could have did anything wrong in my eyes when I was a child on the football field. So, like, when he blocked that kick, it was just like, oh, dude, it was crazy because my mother would have us in church on Sundays, so some games I couldn't watch. And that was one of those games, so I was listening to 980, and then I said, I literally almost got a butt whooping for this because to finish watching that game, our church was at a school. I snuck into the principal's office and turned the TV on just to watch it, dude. I lost it. And the bad thing was I had to keep the excitement inside because I couldn't let anybody know what I had just done inside the church watching the
You know
game.
Your mama listens to the show right now.
She probably is, but I'm old enough to talk about it now.
I'm going to whip you because of this.
Landfill, you got a favorite Dallas memory?
She's going to steal you right in the jaw.
Landfill's good. What's your favorite, B. Mitch?
Favorite
Dallas memory?
Oh, man, just beating them. Every time we beat them, every game we beat them is a good memory for me. And then, like I said, that we had lost to them to break our undefeated thing, and they were yapping, but we went to Dallas and we beat them. So,
how sweet is it to beat a rival on the road?
Great. It's one of the best feelings in the world because it's kind of like that thing where, you know, we watch Spike Lee whenever people come play the Knicks. when you can shut that person up, that's the best feeling in the world.
I'm sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. 800-636. Hold on, I got to correct my memory.
What's it?
So someone just pointed it out in the stream. Troy Vincent blocked it. Wow, talk about a
Troy Vincent, a name.
Troy blocked it, and Sean picked it up.
But God, when the last time you heard Troy Vincent?
I heard it yesterday. He's an assistant to Roger Goodell.
Yeah. Does he work for the NFL or NFLPA?
NFL. He's with the NFL now. Been with the NFL now for at least 8 to 10 years?
Yeah, I feel like I hear his name a lot, Jeff.
I don't. Just
800-636-1067. MGM National Harbor listener lines are open. Favorite memory from Washington and Dallas. Let's get out to Blake in Wilmington. Blake, what's going on?
Well, Toby, we're around the same age. You're a little older than me. I would say my favorite memory is 2012, Thanksgiving. RG3 was dropping bombs to Aldrick Robinson. I know Santana scored a touchdown in that game. That was like the first time I can remember being like, you know, we beat Dallas in Thanksgiving. That was one of the sweetest ones to me.
Was that the one they kicked an onside kick and D. Hall almost took it back for a touchdown at the end of the game just to rub it in?
I don't remember if D. Hall. I don't remember the onside kick, actually, Toby. I don't know about that.
It was late in the game. Dallas was trying to come back. Appreciate the call, Blake. There was one, I think it was a Thanksgiving game where you almost just wanted to rub it in a little bit more, just put another six on the board because it's Dallas.
Hey, anytime you get them, you got to rub it in.
Absolutely.
They're going to rub it in.
Jonesy, what's going on?
What's going on, man? Big Mitch, what's happening?
What up, Jonesy?
Jesse D, I'm mad. It's a lot of them. But I tell you what, I'm going to go old school. September 1993, this was an Emmitt Smith holdout year. I don't know if y'all heard this guy, but a guy named Brian Mitchell came out there and ran a clinic that night. That's right. It was boy, going to work was so much fun the next day. Yes, so that's mine right there.
I love it. Appreciate the phone call, man. Jonesy. Let's see if we can look up the stat lines from that night. Maybe we can find something good here.
It was the 116. I told you.
That was your 116?
Yeah,
let's see. We got Mark Rippon threw for 3 touchdowns that night. Yeah, we got you 21 for 116, 2 touchdowns, 3 catches for 12 yards. Yeah. That was a good night for you.
A good night for you. You know, something.
Let's get out to Jim in Mechanicsville. Jim, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going? How y'all doing today?
We're doing good, man. How you feeling?
I'm fantastic, man. I'm a 63 longtime Redskin fan all the way back to the 60s. My mother was one of the original Redskinette cheerleaders. So I grew up in RFK, and we sat in the bleacher seats back in the end zone. And when Garrison came out of the backfield and Kenny Houston picked him up and dropped him on his head on the 3-yard line, I was about 13 years old, and that was the best thing that ever happened in a ball game. And then the other one was the bleacher seats going up and down. We want Dallas.
Jim, appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I mean, so I was telling you, I never got to experience that, but I grew up watching all the VHS, and that gives me chills every time I think about it.
Hey,
when you
look across that field and you saw it start to move, you knew they were ready. And it was normally the week before you played Dallas.
Yeah.
And damn sure when that week Dallas came in, they started calling for him. It was one of the, as a player, you're like, damn, if they want him that bad, how bad I want him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I can only imagine.
It was fun.
Let's get out to Toothpick. Pick, what's going on?
Hey, what's good? Thanks for taking my call. What's up, Toby B?
What up, brother?
Listen, if we talking Dallas, it got to be something that count. It got to be when the Hogs just, Joe Gibbs calling plays and the Hogs saying no. We running the ball right at Randy
White.
And they just dominate.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be my favorite moment. And it counted. And they just showed them, we're going to dominate you and there's nothing you can do about it. And help me out, B. I believe they told Randy, we coming right at you too.
That's what Jeff Bostic, the story he tells, they told him, Randy, we coming here again. Get ready. And then somebody else told him, hey, Randy, it's going to be somebody else coming to ear hole you on this one. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine they tell you every play what's going to happen and then it happens?
That's incredible.
That's what it is, and that's my favorite part about this whole thing right here is when somebody tells you what's about to happen and you can't stop it.
There you
total
go.
Domination.
I love it.
Oh yeah,
toothpick appreciated. So I don't know if you've seen it. They did a 30 for 30. One of Peyton's places, ESPN. You know he does those. Travels around and does those little documentary things. They did one on RFK, and Jeff Bostic was in it. And he said Joe Bugle was telling them they need to play with athletic arrogance. He said, what the heck is that? Well, he said, well, when we're telling Randy White we're running at you every single time, that's athletic arrogance.
Yeah, that's what Coach Gibbs said, too. Coach Gibbs said you got to have athletic arrogance.
I love it.
You don't want to be a person who's conceited and stuck on yourself, but you got to have athletic arrogance.
It's Dallas Week here on The Fan. We'll get Barstool Nate's thoughts next. It's B. Mitch and Finley on 106.7 The Fan.